Welcome to the Change Life Destiny podcast series, where we highlight the latest and greatest technologies that help restore health, prevent disease, and promote wellness. I'm your host, Stephanie Hingstenberg, and we're thrilled to have you join us on this journey of transformation and wellness. Our guest host, Natalie Needham, also the host of Biohacking Superhuman Performance, interviewed practitioners and exhibitors on the technologies being used in their practices and the real-life results they are seeing with their patients and clients. In this episode, Natalie speaks to Dr. Davis McAllister about his holistic approach to chiropractic and the technologies he uses to treat his patients.
Dr. Davis McAllister, welcome to the show. It is a pleasure to meet you today.
Thank you for having me.
So, yeah, well, I'm excited about this conversation. I'm getting to meet some really interesting people. And you come to us, you hail from the world of chiropractic.
Yes.
And yet you're now, you've now moved into a much broader scope of practice. And so maybe we can just talk a little bit about what you do, how it's different, or how, not even how it's different, but how you evolved into the space where you're at today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started off with a lot of chiropractic, like a lot of chiropractors. I've been doing this for 20 years and right out of school, I opened up a family practice and did that for a couple of years and really felt more of a call and a push towards, you know, sports movement, being able to break down movement patterns, see how people were moving. And that even started overlapping because I still maintained a lot of my family practice type patients. Mm-hmm. And so I started putting a lot of that same application that I was doing working with athletes towards just general population and started paying more attention to how they were moving and doing simple little things, you know, getting up out of a chair and sitting down, you know, because if you look at that from a basic standpoint, that's the same thing as doing a squat.
Yes.
And then, so I started getting into strength and conditioning and actually started doing some coaching and things like that as well. So I'm a powerlifting coach on top of it. I volunteer my time with a high school coach and a girls powerlifting team, but I apply all these same principles. And the thing that I found that was most effective in getting people to understand the things that I was seeing was the importance of visual feedback. Them being able to see what I was seeing and being able to point those things out, because we all have a perception of how we look, how we move, how things look when we're doing it, you know, in our own mind. Especially I was, you know, pretty decent athlete when I was young, and I knew what I looked like back then. And in my mind, I think I could still do that.
You were still 18.
Yeah. And it looks nowhere look like that now, but it's interesting how that can change people's perspective and get them to really buy into wanting to make some real changes in what they're doing and how they're doing it. Because people could come see me. That was the thing that was frustrating, is that people could come see me and I could do an adjustment and those types of things, but we really weren't correcting anything. You know, I was trying to quote unquote put things back in place, and they would feel good for a couple of days, and then, you know, it would creep right back in again and come right back to the office. And from a monetary standpoint, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's great for business. However, that's not what I'm doing this for. I'm doing to actually help people. So I really started focusing and studying on how I could be able to make more lasting change, help people get more out of what they were getting from me, and be able to, you know, improve their life overall. Because this is the thing, is that movement is life. Yeah. And as we get older, you know, sedentary lifestyle is way more detrimental than anything else. If you look at people that retire, the average person that retires only lives four to 5 years after retirement, because they become very sedentary. You know, it's that old concept of being able to sit on the rocking chair on the front porch and live out your last days. Well, your last days become a lot shorter if you do that.
For sure. So. Well, and the idea that, you know, I think I remember speaking to someone once and reading that a lot of the symptom of the experience of an aged person who's sedentary, a lot of those symptoms are actually the symptoms of being grossly out of shape. Yeah. And if we look at people who age well, they're typically people who are moving. They maintain their flexibility. They maintain their lean mass. I mean, the body is not going to hang on to muscle.
No.
If the message isn't, well, we don't need it. Muscle's super expensive from a metabolic perspective, right? And bodies are not, our bodies are nothing if they're not efficient. Then like, wow, we don't need that expensive inventory if we're not going to use it.
Yeah. I mean, if you look, I mean, even your professional athletes, if they go more than a week without any type of conditioning whatsoever, you know, then they go into a detraining mode.
Yeah.
And then the muscles start reversing process and their development starts. I mean, it's amazing how quickly, I mean, somebody having to come back from an injury, they're not only trying to just overcome an injury, but now they're going to have to overcome the deconditioning that goes along with it as well.
For sure.
But the same thing happens with the general population. If you, or worse, you know, because the general population for the most part is there's not a commitment or buy-in to be as active because, you know, they're not trying to be a fine-tuned machine like most athletes are, but it's still more important for us because if we don't put in that extra effort and that time to stay moving and stay functional and do all those things, we're going to degenerate a whole lot faster than what we should.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what tools you use to give people that visual feedback, because that's a big piece of the puzzle that you've applied into your work.
Yes.
And I think you even train other chiropractors in this whole practice. So what maybe you can explain to the audience as best as possible verbally without a visual cue. Yes. How do we give that? How do you help people to get that visual feedback that helps them to understand, really give them better proprioception where they are in space?
So just a little bit of background. Part of my current role, one of the things that I do currently is I work at Parker University. So I'm in a role right now where I'm helping with training the other staff doctors that are training the interns as well as training interns. Mm-hmm. And one of the piece of technology that Parker partnered with was a company called Kinetisense. And it's out of Canada. It was designed by Dr. Ryan Kumo, who is a chiropractor in Canada. And they partnered with that company to bring some of those units in, and I really embraced using that, you know, because before, even when I was in private practice, we would do, you know, just basic filming and things like that. This technology is so much better because it will tag anatomical markers on a person. It will pinpoint their center of mass and draw lines of symmetry.
Oh, wow.
It will show joint angles. It can show balance. I can put a balance, somebody through a balance assessment or a jump assessment, and it will be able to tell me their levels of risk for tearing an ACL. And so that has been extremely valuable. So my role is now I'm teaching the other doctors how to use this technology, teaching the interns how to use it, and with the hope and intent that as they go out into practice, they're going to get either that particular program or one that's similar to it to be able to help their patients. And, you know, by law of multiplication, if you read John Maxwell's book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, it talks about the law of multiplication. Mm-hmm. If I help, you know, 13 staff doctors, and then they help each of their 12 to 15 interns, then how many more people is that going to affect if they take these things and actively use them when they get out into practice?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Does the patient also get that visual feedback from this technology, from the Kinetisense?
Yeah. So when you do it as part of your initial assessment, you have them do these functional movements in front of it, and then that's part of their reported findings. So okay. when the patient, after the intern or the doctor has an opportunity to be able to break all those movements down and pinpoint where the problems are, the asymmetries, the imbalances. Then when the patient comes back, you sit down with that patient and you pull that program up and everything is recorded and you show them everything that is an issue. And then you discuss what the plan is to turn those things around and get them going back in the proper direction.
That's fantastic. So in your time working one-on-one with patients, because you do that as well,
yes.
You're clearly a busy guy. Is there one example that really stands out to you of how applying these principles with a patient really made an impact for them? And maybe let's not, if it's an athlete, that's great. But I think that what's going to be super interesting to the audience is what about me? Like how could this possibly help me?
So this is probably one of, you know, and I still talk to this. As a matter of fact, she just called me the other day just to give me an update on how she's doing. But she's 65 years old. Mm-hmm. She's a high-level executive for a major bank corporation and head of their IT department.
A little bit of pressure.
A little bit of pressure. And a little bit of background on her. She was she immigrated to the U.S. She was from Romania and had gone through that whole you know, if anybody knows anything about the old Soviet bloc, they had all these training facilities and centers that they would put them in because everybody was a potential Olympic athlete. And so she was a gymnast.
Oh, wow.
And so she was used to be, you know, in her own mind when she was younger, she was always very active and in shape and all these things. And she knew that she was having some problems. That what she initially came to me for was she was having some low back pain, mm-hmm. and she was having a problem with one of her knees. Her knee was chronically hurting all the time, and she couldn't pinpoint exactly what it was. So I said, okay, we're going to do the basic orthopedic stuff. We're going to make sure that there's nothing else abnormal going on, but we're also going to look and see how you're moving. Now, this lady's 65 years old. Now, for me, that's not very old.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny how your perception is because I turned 50 this year. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's not too far away, but she could not get up off the ground without assistance.
Wow.
At 65 years
old.
And as a
former gymnast.
Yes.
That's interesting, right? Because
yes.
we know that, I mean, from a programming perspective, her body would remember.
Yeah.
But life gets in the way.
It does. And I mean, even being able to go from a sit to a standing position, she had to have assistance and support to be able to lift herself up out of a chair.
Wow.
And so we went through the process of doing the movement assessment and I showed her how she was moving. And she said, I had no idea that I had gotten this bad.
Right. Because in her mind's eye, she's still doing backflips and
she's still
Lord knows what.
she still thinks that she could just tap into that at any time.
Right.
And unfortunately we can't because, you know, just like anything else, if you don't use it, you know, you're going to lose it and possibly more so.
Right.
So she really took it to heart that she needed to turn things around. Within 3 months, we had her back to where she could actually do a split stance squat, you know, being able to lift her own body weight up off the ground without support, without assistance. Mm-hmm. Because before the first time I tried to have her do that, it was all upper body trying to pull herself up off the ground.
Right. So when you're talking about getting off the ground unassisted, it's with your legs, no hands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hands up.
Yep. Hands up, being able to.
A lot of people can't do that, I think
Being able to engage your core, being able to engage your glutes and hamstrings and all those things and be able to consciously lift your body up off the ground without compensating.
Right.
And she was able to do that. She lost 35 pounds. She went on a diet, corrected her diet, fixed the things that were going on there, started taking more time when she was at work. As I asked her, you know, how long do you sit? And she said, basically from the time I get to work to the time I leave.
Wow.
And so 8 to 9 hours of just straight sitting.
For sure.
And I said, you've got to get up and start moving around.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a timer set every 45 minutes that she gets up and
it's
goes and moves around the office.
I love that.
And she started turning all these things around. And now she's got a personal trainer and she's working out 7 days a week. And I mean, totally different individual now.
That's amazing. And so this clearly made a massive impact on her physically.
Yes.
Which is great. Did it show up in any other aspect of her life?
It was definitely mentally. I mean, that was the thing that got to her mentally. She already knew she had some physical things going on, but by seeing how she was moving and seeing what she looked like, that impacted her mentally
mm-hmm.
and psychologically. And so that was the thing. And she's one of those personalities. I mean, you don't get to a vice president, high level executive without that kind of go-getter type A type personality. But, you know, she engaged that, you know, full force into trying to get her life turned around. And she did. And it was absolutely amazing to see.
That's awesome. And so are you finding with this technology, by helping people to see how mm-hmm. they're showing up, are you finding that it's motivating them to make more changes? Because, you know, like as a chiropractor, as you said earlier, you get people who come in, you make your adjustment, they walk out the door. But the bad news is that their nervous system and their musculature has adapted around that injury, especially if it's, or misalignment, if you will, especially if it's old.
Yeah.
And so the body's not going to give up that protection
overnight. No,
it's
going to revert right back. And
right.
there is a retraining process. But part of that retraining process, you have to incorporate everything with it. You have to balance the musculature out. You have to balance the movement patterns out. Because it's one of the simple things, like if somebody injures a knee early on, they're going to have a conscious weight shift to the other leg.
Yeah.
And if you don't consciously go back and neurologically rehab that patient and make them conscious of it and make them aware of it, that compensation will stay there.
Yeah.
And eventually the other knee will start becoming a problem and will actually wear out faster because of the constant weight distribution.
Absolutely.
And think about it from a loading standpoint. If somebody, you know, tries to load any type of weight and try to lift it, they're pushing all the weight onto that compensated side rather than using both legs equally. And so those are the things that we have to pay attention to. And a lot of times you can't see it, you know, you can't see it within yourself unless you do something and be able to get that visual feedback.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So let's talk a little bit we have a few minutes left, and in those few minutes, I'd love to give people something to walk from you to walk away from to get themselves to the next level. So I think what this goes back to for me is, what are the questions you should be asking of a chiropractor before you start working with them? Like, how can people gauge if the chiropractor that they're seeing is really going to help to move the needle for them? And I think we've already talked about some of this now.
Yeah.
And that is really that you're looking for someone who is going to go beyond the hard tissue, if you will,
yeah,
and get into the soft tissue and get into maybe a little bit of the mindset of what got you there. So what are some questions that people can ask and of a chiropractor? Because, you know, you should be interviewing your practitioners before you start working with them.
Absolutely.
And then maybe we'll leave people with two or three things that you feel everybody should be doing in their daily life to help them to, you know, prevent that stagnation kind of thing.
Yeah,
so let's start with the questions on finding the right doc.
So as far as finding the right doc, definitely questions that you want to ask is, do they do muscle work? Do they do soft tissue work?
Mm-hmm.
Ask them what their philosophy is about muscular asymmetry.
Yeah.
And what is their approach to that? Do they use exercise rehabilitation or exercise therapy? Because there is a difference between traditional physical therapy, which there's a little bit of a thing with that. You know, physical therapists are only allowed to use the term physical therapy. We have to use, you know, physiotherapy or exercise rehab. But do they do that? Do they have the facilities to do that?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
If you walk in and you have a little 10 by 10 square space that, you know,
with a table,
a table and, you know, maybe a band on the floor, that's probably not, you're not going to get what you're thinking that you're going to get when you go in there. You want people that actually have a, you know, setup for physical rehabilitation. Do they provide visual feedback
to you, the patient,
to be able, so that you can be able to see and know what it is that you're needing to work on?
Love it. Yeah. No, that's great advice. All right. So what are three things that people, that our listeners could put into practice today that would really, in your mind or in your professional opinion, never mind your mind, which is your professional opinion, really help to move the needle for them and help them to feel better?
Biggest thing, you got to get up and move every day. You get out and do something. Go for a walk. And a lot of people, they wrap their mind around this fact that they think they have to do an hour worth of exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do an hour worth of exercise. All you've got to do is at least 20 minutes. Now, if your goal is to lose weight, you got to go a little bit more than 20 minutes because your body mechanisms don't kick in to burn fat until you exceed that 20-minute mark. But you've got to do some sort of movement every day.
Mm-hmm.
Stretch. Make sure that you're stretching.
I love that.
And then look at your muscular balances. If your shoulders are rolling forward, and this is the thing, that where the pain is not necessarily where the problem is.
Absolutely.
Because people complain about tightness and stiffness across their mid-back and things like that. But when you look at them, all their muscles are pulling everything forward. Well, the reason it aches in the back is because those muscles are constantly under strain, trying to balance out what's going on the front of the body. Stretch out. This is the way I describe it to my patients. We need to loosen up the tight stuff and we need to tighten up the loose stuff.
Perfect.
And start working, being conscious about exercising those muscles and bringing those back. Because if you think about everything that we do on a daily basis, just sitting and working on a computer, everything's pushing forward. Muscles are contracted forward. Everything's squeezing into the front. We've got to make a conscious effort to work on pulling all those things back and counterbalancing it.
Love it. Well, and Dr. Davis, this has been amazing. I'm calling you doctor by your first name.
No, that's
just
fine.
To be clear. We know it's Dr. Davis McAllister. Yeah. thank you for this. Where can people find you and tap into, you know, your incredible resources, learn more about what you do?
Yeah, I have a website. It's a little bit of a conglomeration because I do a lot of speaking engagements. As a matter of fact, this is my fourth podcast this week. So
amazing.
And so I have a lot of different resources. I'm also an author, but just general contact information. If people want to reach out with me, I can also do things online for people if they want to do that.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
So you can do movement assessments.
I can do movement assessment online.
Thank you, Zoom.
And, And so I have a website, Dr. Davis McAllister. And when you spell McAllister, it's 1C, 1A, 1L. People try to add extra letters to my
Excellent.
Name.
Excellent. So. Thank you for that. Yep. I'm pretty sure we would have doubled the C and the L at the very least.
So it's drdavismcallister.com. There's a contact page on there. There's a lot of other stuff that people can see. I've got media spotlights and things like that. But there's a contact information on there. People can reach out to me and then we can figure out what they need from there.
Well, thank you so much. This is great. Thank you for all that you do to change lives and destinies in your work.
Thank you for tuning in to the Change Life Destiny podcast series. Join us each week to hear more thought-provoking conversations like this and the astounding results that are empowering people to lead healthier, happier lives. Subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date on how we're revolutionizing our healthcare system. Visit us at www.changelifedestiny.com to learn more about the practitioners, technologies, and how you can take control of your health.